Good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, the show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you, too. Very important people here.
Very important.
After the last couple of weeks, every day you guys are important. From the Colorado Department of Transportation, Bob Wilson and Michelle Pulin, communications managers. My goodness, you guys. I mean, I don't even know, does that even cover it?
No.
You guys have really had a couple of weeks. Seriously.
It has been truly a rough month for us. And, you know, things that we typically don't deal with on a regular basis.
Let's start with the nonstop avalanches in the week before.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, right?
Mm-hmm. 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
A while ago. Yeah. Beginning of March. Early
Sometime
March.
This month.
It's all blending together.
It's all blending together.
I mean, you had I-70 closed, multiple places. It was just nonstop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the entire mountain corridor was pretty much shut down, and we were seeing historic, unprecedented avalanches. And some of them were mitigation slides. Some of them were natural slides. It was just kind of the perfect avalanche storm.
And it was like that first, it was like a Friday, I believe, Thursday or Friday. And everything just kept triggering. And it was around Copper. No, was it?
Near Copper Mountain.
Yeah.
Loveland Pass. A Basin was shut down for 2 days. I mean, that never happens.
Right. And you guys have crews, obviously. And you guys... CDOT obviously works with the Avalanche Center very closely.
Yeah, we work very closely with the Colorado Avalanche Information Center. We're very tight with them, and they're our close partners. So they kind of are the avalanche experts. They're telling us what to watch out for. They know the typical slide paths.
Okay.
And they're mitigating where we think we need it. But this year... paths that haven't slid, haven't had any movement in 100 years, 50 years, ever.
Forever. We had, we have a slide on Berthoud Pass known as Disney that hadn't run since 57. And somebody from Walt Disney, from that company, from the film company, actually lost their life trying to film the Disney slide. So hence the name.
Wow.
On US 40. And that ran.
Wow.
As well. So, and that was 1957. So that tells you how long ago.
And how do you deploy crews, especially days like that where it's multiple avalanche after avalanche after avalanche?
There's a target the biggest different one? Type of crew that's involved in avalanches. Because you're talking 100 yards, some areas 15 to 18 feet deep. Of not just snow, but the debris the snow brought down.
Right.
I mean, you're talking 100-foot trees. You're talking rocks, dirt. Several of those avalanches stripped all the way down to the dirt and brought down everything with them.
Wow.
So we've got to have backhoes and bulldozers and dump trucks to load the stuff in. And so there's a lot of equipment, a lot of personnel involved, and unfortunately a lot of time. So that's why you saw those extended road closures.
Because you don't know how much is going to come down either.
Right.
I mean, it's just like you can anticipate. A lot of times we try to estimate it's going to take sometimes it's 30 minutes or an hour. But then once those are triggered, you never know
how much.
Yeah, and sometimes it's going to take twice as long as you anticipated originally.
Well, and you guys saw the amazing, because you were in the height, not for that, for the bomb cyclone, right, Michelle?
Yeah.
But... the video that people were catching on their dash cams and stuff, pushing cars. Like, luckily, nobody was seriously hurt in those avalanches.
And that's why we do what we do.
Right.
I mean, CDOT, our bottom line top priority is safety. So the whole reason behind avalanche mitigation is to make sure we don't have those natural slides that end up with cars being buried. Now, on Colorado 91, that same weekend...
Yeah.
We did have cars buried, but luckily they were able to get out.
Get out.
Because that's a scary thing. None of us want to, get stuck in our car buried with snow.
Right.
So what do you do if you do get stuck? Because winter's not over.
No, we're not even close.
Yeah. We're in spring, but we're still dealing with one.
We still have to get through May.
And, in springtime, we have those heavy, wet snows. And if there's more weight up there, you never know what's going to come down. So you're stuck in an avalanche. What do you do?
Yeah.
Number one priority that you need to do is turn off your car.
Okay.
And people think that's counterintuitive, that no, I want to keep my car on because I want the heat. I don't want to freeze.
Right.
Well, you also don't want to die from carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah, because your tailpipe is completely covered.
Yeah.
At that point.
So that's your biggest risk.
Okay.
If your cell phone still works, call for help. If we will find you.
Right.
Rescue workers.
Turn on that
will
locator and
yeah, exactly.
Right,
but
right.
Top thing is make sure you turn that car off. If you see it coming, slow down. If you can, pull to the side of the road.
Yeah, don't keep going.
Don't keep going.
Right. Because some of those videos you saw, some people were backing up, mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
is that real? And then others, there was no way they could stop,
right?
Which was
right.
so scary. Luckily, nobody was killed mm-hmm. in those.
And stay in your car too.
And stay in your car
because
yeah.
you have an encapsulated area that you're protected from.
Yeah.
So that's sometimes we always make sure to tell people do not. Yeah. Get out of your automobile because you never know what else. There could be another avalanche coming, too.
Coming, too. Yeah.
And because that's yeah. what we did Residual. See in those videos mm-hmm. is people walking around and right away getting out of their car. Maybe you're able to get out of the car, but you don't know, like Bob said, what else is coming down.
Because there could be more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could be more. Okay, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the bomb cyclone. And then we're going to get, there's so much to talk about today, a gap update. We're going to talk about Bustang. Also, the new I-25 My Way program. We've got lots more with Michelle Pulin, Bob Wilson on The Extra right here on KRDO News Radio. Good morning. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today from CDOT, we're talking with Bob Wilson and Michelle Pulin, both communications managers for CDOT. We've been talking about really the month you guys have had. I mean, it's just been, it's not laughable, but you can't help, right? I mean, it was insane. We were talking about the avalanches and then the bomb cyclone. I think we're all going to be okay if we never hear that term.
Ever.
Ever. Again.
Yeah. And I want to know whose job it is to come up with those names.
You know, they could work on some happier. No.
Yeah. But you Doom and gloom. I guess it kept people off the roads.
Yeah.
So.
Bomb cyclone kind of covered it.
Yeah.
You know, that was a crazy storm. And of course, once again, CDOT had a lot to deal with that day. So many highways and interstates being closed. And one of them was I-25, of course. And there was an over 100 car pileup because the visibility was so bad, wasn't it? Between the Springs and Castle Rock.
Yes, yeah, just north of Monument Hill, that area around Greenland Road, out in the Greenland area, just became a chain reaction, and you wound up having 130 vehicles that had piled up. So it became a real problem. Luckily, nobody... there were no injuries that we're aware of, or
which is good because once you saw those pictures, it was like, oh my gosh!
Right, and everybody was able to get rescued. We were able to get people out of their vehicles, and Douglas County was got school buses in there.
I was gonna say you have to in situations like that coordinate with counties and stuff,
right.
don't you?
It's a team effort.
Right.
Whenever you're, it's not just a CDOT thing. It's State Patrol, the counties, the cities, the towns. So it was a coordinated effort. They were able to get buses in there, get people out of their vehicles up to the Douglas County Fairgrounds, and then they were able to spend the night at Douglas County Fairgrounds. And then the next day, the vehicles that were able to be driven out of there, people were taken back, drove their vehicles. Other vehicles were pulled out of there, towed out of there. And we opened the highway in around 1, 2 in the afternoon.
Mm.
So we got the roadway cleared, plowed, sanded, everything, and... Luckily, it was a tough 24 hours, but nobody was seriously injured or lost their life.
Exactly. And it is a tough process, isn't it, removing all those cars that some of them you can't even see because they're buried in some of those snowdrifts. You can't see them, which mm-hmm. creates a hazard for crews, too, right?
Right.
To clear those.
There were semi-trucks, too. We had to have heavy tow operations in
come
there to
in.
Pull, you'd come in and pull out the big semis that had been damaged as well, so... That was one of two. There was another one up near the Wyoming border, too, that
a massive pile
about 100 cars, too, that happened even earlier than the one in Douglas County.
Yeah, because that storm came from, and you were on vacation, weren't you?
I was on vacation.
You were in the high country?
I was.
Yeah.
I was. So I enjoyed some fresh powder and definitely.
missing the bombs.
Yes, I enjoyed the benefit of the bomb cyclone. But felt pretty horrible for my coworkers who were covering for me, especially Bob.
you guys did a great job.
Well,
I want to emphasize something, though. Both you guys and State Patrol, they did a very, sending out because they, meteorologists, look, we live in Colorado. We know sometimes that they say are going to happen, may not happen. But you guys sent out, be prepared, kid. Like, here's what you need to have in your car. And it's critical to pay attention to those.
Yeah. It was a very proactive effort. Both from CDOT, State Patrol, and even just local entities. That Wednesday, school districts, government offices closed down. So that kept a lot of people off the roadways, which was a big help. So everybody knew it was coming.
Yeah.
It was predicted. And so those proactive efforts help.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that are the most difficult is when you're thinking there's going to be 1 or 2 inches on the ground and then you get hit with a foot of snow.
Right.
And,
exactly.
You know, and everybody's stuck at work. And right. then those, yeah, and we've all experienced those at one time or another. So that was one thing. We were prepared for it, but there were still problems.
Absolutely.
And we were trying to really prepare for that.
Right.
And let people know that the bomb cyclone wasn't supposed to hit until later in the day. So we were telling folks, your commute to work might be great on Wednesday.
Right.
But when you go to work, you better prepare to stay there
for exactly.
a very long. So if you can't work from home, if you can't stay home, if you can't not go to work, when you go to work, prepare to be there because your commute out of there is going to be a whole lot different than it was going to work.
You know, I have to give a shout out to our meteorologist too, because they pretty much nailed it on the time of when it arrived. I was like, good job, guys, the way everything lined up, because sometimes you just don't know we're in Colorado.
Right. I mean, usually even if a meteorologist doesn't get gets the storm correct, sometimes it's the timing of it.
Yeah.
The mountains create so many problems and variables right. for forecasting around here. So a lot of times you might think the storm's going to hit at 9 o'clock, but it hits noon instead, but it still hits. It's just a little bit delayed. In this instance, everybody had the timing down pretty well.
Well, and with a storm like this, with all the moisture, of course, putting down de-icer, your crew's putting down de-icer or anything like
in
that
instance,
is not possible.
In this instance, we didn't put down de-icer.
Yeah.
And
no
that was,
pre-treatment.
It was because the pre-treatment would have been washed off because
exactly.
there was so much rain. It was rain. So in this instance, it was going to all be solid de-icers.
Well, and as we were talking before we go to a news break, you guys, all of this moisture, all of this snow, now we have to prepare for
flooding.
Yeah.
So that's already on everybody's mind.
Yeah,
yeah,
and we need to be aware of that.
What comes with flooding? Rock slides, mud slides. So our geohazards team, you know, they're not just looking at the avalanches. They're looking at what comes next because there can be a lot of movement in those rocks too. So if you're planning on driving through the canyons, you know, keep
be
your
careful.
Eye. Yeah, absolutely. Be aware for rocks.
Yeah. Because the crews, we know, especially going up the past 24, rock mitigation work was done. But with
absolutely.
All that moisture and everything. Okay, we're going to take a quick news break, and when we come back, we're going to shift gears. We need to talk about a gap update, the new I-25 My Way program busting, and a lot more. We'll have more with Michelle Pulin, Bob Wilson from CDOT on the Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to the Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we're chatting with CDOT. Joining us, communications managers, Michelle Pulin. She covers Region 2. What up, Michelle?
Good morning, good morning.
Good to see you.
You too.
And statewide communications manager, Bob Wilson, is here. Bob, thanks for coming down today.
Thank you.
Good morning. Actually, it's up. We always say that. From Denver, it's up.
I came down from Denver.
You came down from Denver?
Yeah.
Are we going to go into that?
Up in altitude.
I did come up to Colorado Springs because it is a little bit
higher.
You're a little bit over 6,000, and I'm at 5,280.
You know, we always have that discussion. People go, no, it's down. I go, no, technically, it's up. Okay, anyways, what my little brain on Monday mornings go through. So thank you guys for coming in. We have lots of updates, and we're going to start with the gap update. And things are moving along, aren't they? But lots of shifts happening too and all that stuff with the gap.
Lots of traffic shifts, yes. We, you know, when we started the project in September of last year, it was just on the north section between Toma Road or the Toma Road Interchange and Castle Rock. And now it has moved. The north section is still under construction, but now we are working on the south section, which is between Highway 105 and Monument and Greenland Road. And so now the barriers are in place and you're seeing a lot of activity primarily on the outside or the shoulder areas of I-25.
Okay, that's where
that
they're starting
stretch.
On the shoulder. Okay.
Yeah, we're working on the outside there, whereas on the north section, we're working on the inside. So you're going to see a lot of changes throughout the 3 years of this project, where sometimes work will be taking place on the inside or on the outside and lots of traffic shifts.
And because of, but some emergency maintenance work has had to be done, hasn't it, which is kind of going to delay the project.
Well, there's emergency work that we've had to do because of so much moisture.
Right
after the snowstorms a couple of weeks ago, we had to do pothole work.
Right.
And so that's been common.
Because these huge craters were opening up.
They open up at this time of year. So a lot of pothole operations are taking place throughout the state, not just in Colorado Springs, Pueblo, Denver, but throughout. But it also includes I-25 gap, to where sometimes we never close lanes during the day unless there's emergency operations required.
Right.
So usually it's for pothole operations.
Okay.
And we've had to do that a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, and we've had to do it previously too. But sometimes you get a little moisture overnight. Or there's been that freeze-thaw cycle that's been occurring for a few weeks, and finally the road opens up, and we were just on Monument Hill, I think, a week ago, and we had to get crews in there. So
yeah.
Lane closures, people need to slow down, give our crews some room. They're rolling lane closures, so the traffic is still moved. The crews are
right.
Moving from pothole to pothole to pothole. They're not stationary, but it does require slowdowns and a rolling lane closure.
And again, I'm sure people can go to the Gap website, but also, and Michelle, you helped hook us up with this, is to get the download or the text message.
Oh, the alerts.
The text alerts.
Yes.
I mean, that's a huge advantage for people that have to commute or use the Gap on a daily basis, isn't it? Because it pops up and goes, by the way, emergency rolling lane closures at mm-hmm. blah, blah, right?
Exactly.
It truly is the best source for Gap information.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And it's up to the minute. I mean, it's not like we're putting out an advisory or a news release 4 days in advance. Or, you know, we can tell you, like, literally in 2 hours, this is what's going to be occurring.
Right.
And generally, those pothole operations, we're only talking about an hour or two, because it's usually just in one general area.
Right.
We need to go in, but we're in, and then we're out. So
okay.
If we're closing a lane I-25 during the day, we're trying to get in and out of there pretty quickly.
And right now, as far as schedule, kind of on time with the Gap, or still got some... did we get behind a little bit, or we're kind of still on schedule?
Well, originally schedule was calling for 2021, but yeah. Now we're at 2022.
Okay.
But that's just because when you're building a large highway project, sometimes mm-hmm. things crop up that you're not aware of, and so we have
bomb
to do
cyclone.
Additional.
Yeah. Like bomb cyclones.
Exactly. Sometimes you need to
130 car pileups, you know.
You know, well, luckily nobody was hurt,
right.
So that's
exactly.
Good. But, you know, we have to make some design changes there, you know, some additional asphalt work. So I always compare it to when you're working on your house, you start doing an improvement project. Sometimes you'll open up the wall and notice that you need new wiring or new piping or something.
It begats itself. That's like,
you know,
I
it's
say,
yeah. Got to extend the house project or the highway project, and that's what occurred in this particular instance.
So, and I think the plan, and correct me if I'm wrong, is like you said, starting up north, starting down south, and then meeting in the middle. That's eventually how the project mm-hmm. is laid out
late
to
summer.
Work, right?
Yeah, we anticipate probably late May, early June, late spring, maybe could go start in late in the very early part of the summer, where we will then begin the center part between Greenland Road and Tomer Road.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be the most challenging because there's bridge work that needs to be done through there that go over Plum Creek, as well as the railroad tracks. There's curvature. We need to change some what we call super elevation, but it's just the curvature of the road through there and mm-hmm. soften it to make it safer. And so that work will begin late spring.
Okay.
And then when that work is underway, all three sections will be under construction. It'll be 18 miles long.
Solid construction.
Solid construction.
Okay.
And it'll be the longest work zone in the state.
Wow.
So you want to be in the know on
yeah.
this. So if you haven't signed up for text alerts, please do so. And you can do that by texting I-25-GAP to 21000.
So text I-25-GAP to 21000. That signs
correct.
You up.
Signs you up for text messaging.
And then you'll get the alerts.
Yes.
And I know... Oh, go ahead.
You can also check out the website that's specifically for the Gap, and that's I-25-GAP. At codot.us.
codot.us?
Yes.
Awesome. And that kind of lays the plan out, the kind of schedule and everything like that.
Yes.
Because we have how many people that use that stretch of road on a daily basis? I think you told me a little while ago, Michelle, the numbers daily between the Springs and like Castle Rock, Denver.
You know, it varies. Between the section between Monument and Castle Rock is about 80,000 vehicles.
A day.
Just a day. But... between like Monument and Colorado Springs, it goes up much higher. It's you're looking 110,000.
Yeah.
And then it grows even more significantly higher from Castle Rock north into Denver. Because there's a lot of population, as you know, up in the Castle Rock area.
Absolutely.
And that northern Douglas County area. So it just progressively gets higher in traffic numbers as you get closer to Denver.
And I know, and we're going to have to probably carry this over to our next break, but last week, CDOT released, it's a new program, right? It was released last week. It's called I-25 My Way. And the whole point of this is to encourage people to carpool or vanpool, right? Or figure out alternative routes, possibly, to get to Denver.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. Get more people with less vehicles between Denver and Colorado Springs is the goal. And it's a partnership with the Denver Regional Council of Governments, similar to PPACG in El Paso County. And so that's exactly what it is, to let people know there are alternatives than just a vehicle for single use for one individual, and that you can carpool, you can vanpool. They do have incentives. Dr. Cog has built in a lot of those incentives. And then Bustang, we also have a route now that runs between Colorado Springs and Denver Tech Center round trip. Hmm. And we've reduced the fare there to $9 one way.
Which is incredible.
Yeah, so
really.
We are encouraging people to get out of their own individual vehicles and to vanpool, carpool, or get on the bus and get up to the Denver Tech Center. Or we also have the regular Bustang service that goes as far north as the Denver Union Station and has a couple other stops in downtown Denver.
And there's a website, right? It's i25myway.com.
Yeah, i25myway at, and then, well, there's an email that you can get more.
Oh, okay.
I'll give you that. That's i25myway at drcog.org.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that you can email more information. But there also is like a, isn't there even a commute planner almost with i25myway? Like you could enter your information and it'll say, here's the best way for you to go. Is that right? Possibly?
Yes. Yeah, you can enter information and then it'll give you different options, show you what kind of money you can save by, or the wear and tear on your vehicle. Gives you a lot of different options and price alternatives.
And they'll set up the carpool
they'll
for
set
you.
It up for you, yeah.
You tell them where you're going, and our great partners at Dr. Cog will help set up.
Like, the, oh, hey, we've got five people going this way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Carpool.
Right. So if you work at Great West Insurance in the tech center,
right,
they'll work with Great West and with you to make sure that you can get everything coordinated, and then you've got that all set up.
Perfect. Awesome. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have more with Bob Wilson, Michelle Pulin from CDOT on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we're talking with CDOT. Joining us as statewide communications manager, Bob Wilson is here, and Michelle Pulin, Region 2. What? Communications manager. This is how we celebrate. So let's talk about, I love it, you reminded me, Michelle, the last time you were here, you were following Louisa Graft, who was giving away gifts, and you were like, I have a gift for you.
Yes, I have a gift for everyone. I share my gifts. I spread the love.
And this is your Gap gift.
Yes, I have a Gap
and
gift.
And this is through the entirety of the Gap project.
It is. Mm-hmm. Slow down. Why do I tell you to slow down? Even more than usual.
Because our friends at CDOT are watching.
Our friends at CSP.
Thank you.
Colorado State Patrol.
My brain. I need more coffee today.
We're watching. We just can't enforce it.
Yeah. Right, but you can't call.
CSP can.
But you can call on CSP and go, hey.
Yes, so we do have enhanced, elevated enforcement in that area.
And there are they just, of course, they're going to call up and go, Renee, nice try.
Yeah.
Are strategically placing people through there. See, Michelle, you're giving me that look like not going to answer that question. Mm-hmm.
Let's just say they tend to set up in locations that are prone to speeding.
Yeah.
You know, like Greenland tends to be somewhat of a racetrack.
Yeah, people are like, what? It's
so,
free open
It's
space.
Wide open, when you can see all the way to Larkspur from the top of Monument Hill.
Exactly.
It tends to lend itself to that kind of behavior.
Exactly.
But yeah, so they tend to set out in strategic areas where there tends to be a lot of speeding if it's not completely through the whole corridor.
And a reminder, it's double.
It is. It's a work zone. So it's double the fine.
Double.
So,
yeah.
So I think you should save that money for Bronco tickets, Rockies tickets, a pair of shoes.
Something better.
Not for a ticket.
Than a speeding ticket
Much
through the gap.
Much better to go 65 and be safe.
Absolutely. And speaking of the gap, Bob, this is very interesting. You know the history, or the gap, the Bustang. I'm sorry, Bustang. You were one of the ones that helped create Bustang. Is that right? The service? Was kind of like a brainchild for you?
It wasn't my brainchild per se. It was CDOT Transit and Rail was formed in like 2012 is when the service or the the division was formed, and then one of the charges of the division was to create a transit system that could cover the state eventually.
Right.
And so when we launched the service in 2015, you know, it originally started off as just three lines, one line west on I-70 between Denver and Glenwood Springs, one line south, Denver to Colorado Springs, mm-hmm. and then Denver to Fort Collins along I-25 north.
Right.
Now it's expanded significantly to now we have the line on the west line goes all the way to Grand Junction.
Wow.
And then the line, and then we have another service called Bustang Outrider, which covers the rural areas, but it does provide service between Lamar, Pueblo, and Colorado Springs. Right now, Bustang eventually will go Colorado Springs to Pueblo, but right now the Outrider has been extended between Pueblo and Colorado Springs, so it provides service for people in the southeastern part of the state,
right,
or southern part of the state for that, to connect to Denver out of Pueblo.
Wow.
And so, because there's also a line from Alamosa to Pueblo.
Okay.
And then there's a line from Durango up to Grand Junction.
Wow.
And then Gunnison, we also have a line from Gunnison to Denver as well.
That's a huge expansion.
Yeah,
it has.
And there's going to be a lot. There's going to be more. You know, in the future, we anticipate there's going to be lines that'll be running up to Steamboat Springs,
wow.
Craig, Greeley's also on the radar for covering that Northern Front Range as well. So, and then Sterling's been asking about it too.
I'm sure they have.
Northeastern Colorado,
absolutely. Yeah. Well, and then talk about sell out quick. The Bustang to the Broncos games. I mean, they sell out in, what, 2 seconds?
Yeah, well, sometimes. But they always sell out before that Sunday or Thursday right. or Monday. It all depends. But, yeah, it's been very successful. I think the only times they don't sell out is maybe that last exhibition game, that last preseason game.
Right.
Where they're just, you know, the players aren't who people want to see. So
they're
occasionally
like,
in late August, it's like sometimes we don't totally fill up those buses. But every other, all the regular season games, sell out between Colorado Springs and Denver, and then Fort Collins
and Denver.
And Denver as well.
Absolutely. So if you want the Bustang schedule for the year, is it up yet? Do we know?
It is.
So go check it out for the games.
Yeah. Yep. Ridebustang.com.
Rockies, are we doing?
No, not this year. Day. Yeah, we were discussing it, but right now we're going through a driver shortage with everybody's going through a driver shortage that has commercial driver's licenses. So in addition to Bustang, our vendors, our contractors are having problems finding enough people with what's known
with
as
CDLs,
commercial driver's licenses. But it's also impacting school districts,
wow.
other agencies that require those kinds of licenses to drive their equipment. So it's, you know,
hey,
it's,
people
it's,
go get your CDLs. Yeah, how's
it's,
that?
It's, yeah. It's tough. You know, it's one of those things yeah. that is tough in a, it's a very good
economy,
economic,
right now, yeah.
You know, environment right now, but it can also create problems, other unintended consequences.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And really quick, you guys, before we have to wrap up, I know, well, Colorado's always in construction season, but we're kind of heading into construction season, aren't we?
We really are.
You getting some big projects we're preparing for.
In Southern Colorado, where we are, construction season really never ends.
Right.
I mean, we're fortunate enough to have the weather where we can continue working. But we ramp up in the spring and have more projects, and we're on the cusp of that again. So you're going to see, we have a cable rail project between Pueblo and Colorado Springs that one just finished. Another one is going to ramp up. We've got a sound wall project on US 24 and I-25. We've got several surface treatment projects. So be prepared for that. Know where the cone zones are.
Absolutely.
Slow down for the cone zones. I mean, we don't want to see anyone get hurt.
Right. Yeah.
Drive like it's your kids working there.
Absolutely.
It's your parents,
your dad,
there.
Your mom, your yeah. And by the way, very sorry for the loss of your CDOT employee.
Thank
that
you.
Was so sad.
Yeah, that was very, very tough. CDOT is family.
Absolutely.
And so we never want to see that happen.
Yeah.
CSP is our family.
Right.
You know, and so we lost a trooper in the bomb cyclone.
Yeah.
And so it's been a tough time the last few weeks.
Everybody needs to slow down, pay attention.
Yeah.
And just
make good choices.
Make good choices.
I mean,
absolutely.
We're up to 57 deaths in the state of Colorado.
Already.
So we're continuing to go up. We're higher than we were this time last year. So please be safe behind the wheel.
Absolutely.
Put your seatbelt on. Don't
Slow
drive
down.
Drunk. Don't drive distracted. Yeah. Make good choices.
Absolutely.
And more often than not, the person who gets injured in a work zone is the driver, not the worker. I mean, that's kind of a odd statistic,
yeah.
you think, but everything we've been told is that usually it impacts the person driving the vehicle that gets injured because they run into a piece of equipment.
I was going to say, if
like
they run
that.
Into a large piece of equipment, your car's not going to win.
Concrete barrier. Yeah,
concrete barrier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you guys, thank you so much for coming in today. I truly appreciate it, you guys.
Of course. Always awesome. Love being here.
And yeah. We will get you guys scheduled for next month and tomorrow on the Extra. It's the Area Agency on Aging and ENT. They're going to be here. They have a huge retirement series coming up. We'll talk about that tomorrow on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Have a great day. Drive safe.
Yes.